Open up our Bibles and thanking the Lord, going back into John chapter 15. And last week we left off so sweetly in chapter 15, the vine and the branches, and thanking the Lord that we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the vine and we are the branches. The Father is the husbandman that's doing that pruning and encouraging and all of the things that are necessary to produce abundant fruit for his son and for him. And as Sister Bodie notes, which is very sweet, between the vine and the branches, it's a surrender on both sides. And to take that a little bit further, the vine is dependent upon the branches for fruit. And yet the branches are dependent upon the vine for life. And if you will, it's like a double abiding. And again, another double portion. Isn't that amazing how it is all the time? The double, the double, the double. And you think about that abiding, I and you and me. Even when you think about that naturally speaking, that is some bridal language. That's between husband and wife talk as well, too. So you can allow the Spirit to take this as far as you want, and I want the Spirit to take it as far as He wants. How's that? And that's all the way into the midst of the throne glory with Jesus Christ. But it's wonderful that we can believe and know that everything is supplied by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything. I thank God that we know that we are His workmanship. Such a precious rest to my heart to know that we yield to God. We yield to Him, and we're going to find that out tonight, because of love. That's why you yield. If you try to do this thing out of duty or because I'm just going to go with God because I'm going to go with God because I'm so strong, it won't last. Love is what does it. Love is what convicts a heart. I believe by the grace of God you're here tonight. You're here because you, the love of Jesus. When you truly love someone, it doesn't matter what time they want to get together. And I'm talking about your lover, you know, like when you're courting or something like that. You know, they say, well, you know, maybe 2 a.m, you know, I feel like getting together. Well, you get out there. If you're really in love, you'll get out there. Now, really, equate this. You see what I'm saying? Like if somebody that was like, well, you know, that's my buddy, 2 a.m, well, that I ain't picking up that phone. You know, that's not going to happen. That's going to go to the, you know, something else. But when you're in love, that's when you'll change. When you're in love, that's when you'll be convicted. When you're in love, that's what finally will cause this wonderful word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to will and to do of His good pleasure in your life. When you love, you begin to surrender of you and let your lover take over. Praise God. And what's so beautiful, too, is the openness of the vine. Everything of the vine is ours, just like in a grapevine. Everything that's in that vine flows through that branch. Everything. Everything that that branch will ever be is because of the vine, because of all of the power, all of the life in the vine. And as Jesus Christ will make it known as we get to chapter 16, that's why He's sending the Holy Ghost. Because in chapter 16, we hear Him specifically say to the disciples, there's so much I want to tell you guys. You've been with me for 3.5 years. There's so much I want to minister to you. But I can't give you all this. I can't tell you these things because you can't bear them. You can't understand them at this time. But when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, when the Holy Ghost is come, He's been with you, but He shall be in you. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, then you'll be led into all truth. And it goes on and it talks about being led into all truth. He will take the things of mine and He'll show them unto you. He'll reveal that to you. It's just like in Galatians 4:1, one of my favorite verses in the whole Word of God, that if we really would understand, we are little lords of all. We have it all. It's all the potential is there. And God help us to believe it. But now as we go on here tonight, with all this potential from the vine, And it's full, isn't it? Because there's nothing withheld from the vine. Everything within the vine flows through the branches. So we know that we have the fullness and the full potential to be filled with all the fullness of God because of Jesus Christ. Here is the love that we can be a part of. So let's begin reading verse 9 of John 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus saying this is, the Father's loved me, I love you. Continue ye in my love. So now we're really getting, after we've had all of this abiding and all of this encouragement, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of what this is all about. It is about love. And as I mentioned earlier before we started, one of the great reasons the Lord is emphasizing so much about this love right now, and so much as we're going to see about loving one another, is because Jesus said, if you'll really go after me, if you'll be this branch that's of me and in me, you're going to be hated. They hated me without a cause, but you're not of the world. And if you'll go after me, they're going to hate you the same way. So again, the importance, brothers and sisters, for us to love one another. For us to love each other and to love each other unconditionally and always, and to be encouraged to really give that love that the Lord wants us to share. So he says, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now again, Christ is assuring at this time that the same love that he receives from the Father, he loves us with. Now I want you, again, wrap your heart around that. The same love that the Father has for Jesus, Jesus has for us. There's no difference, praise God. And he loves us with all of that. There is no difference. There is no change in devotion. The passion is the same. The full purpose of the fulfillment of all and the complete will of God is there for our lives. And I want you to notice something here. It's my love. It's my love. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Continue ye in what? My love. Don't continue in your love. You continue in my love. See, the reason we want the love of Christ in our life is because it never changes. It never stops. Praise God. It's the love that passes knowledge. Think about your love. What happens to it? It fluctuates, doesn't it? Your love can be very temporary. Matter of fact, that's not love at all, is it? Love how you treat me. Aren't you thankful that Jesus doesn't, the love that he loves us with isn't predicated upon how we treat him? Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. He absolutely loves us because he just first loved us. That's it. That's all he can do. His purpose is to love us. And that's what he does, is he loves us unconditionally. But see, if we have our confidence in our love, which fluctuates, what's going to happen? It's going to discourage me. Amen? See, that's why sometimes when we get so hyped up and zealous about how much I love God, I've got a rude awakening coming up. My rejoicing is, as the Shulamite finally says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. It's all because of his love. When his love ravishes my heart, when I understand how much Jesus loves me, praise be to God, it's going to change me. It's going to cause me to love him with the very love that he loves me with. But it's always because he first loved me. He's just first. He's the first fruits. He's the first of everything. He's just first. So this is what's so beautiful about it. But this is how much the entire Godhead is for us. Listen to this. See, the same power, see, as the Father loved the Son, and you think about the love of the Father to the Son, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that raised him from the grave and raised him to sit at the right hand of God, that is the same love power that is to us. The same love power. It's no different. It is exactly the same. And I thank God for that encouragement that he gives to us. And let us believe it and continue on in this love. And see, that word continue in this love, it means to continue to rejoice, continue to be strengthened in it, continue to encourage yourselves in it. praise God, we better be saints about the grace of God and how much he loves us. That's why we need to continue to hear the word of God. See, that's why the devil, the enemy, all he wants to do is to get you away from the word of God. If he can get you away from the word of God, you're going to quit hearing continually how much the Lord loves you. That's how he tells you how he loves you. He tells you in the word of God, the love letters that continue to pour forth. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, what's interesting here, we have Jesus' commandments, we got the Father's commandments, and let's just get down to what these commandments are talking about. And let's go on over to Matthew 22. So we can solve this, or let the Word of God solve this for us very quickly. And these were some religious Pharisees that were really trying to get at Jesus and trying to tempt him. And in Matthew 22, verse 36, this Pharisee, you notice they say master. They don't say Lord. They don't say Savior. See, this is, you can see there's a tempting going on. But God, praise God, appoints these tempters to bring forth truth. And this is what's so sweet. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So, the religious zealots, the ones that believe that their dirty self-righteousness is going to get them somewhere because of their ability to keep the commandments, to show themselves favorable to God. It is the dirtiest, most despicable thing to the Father because he gave his Son for all of that. And here he comes at him and he says, well, which is the great commandment in the law? Well, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Praise be to God. It's about love, isn't it? Amen. And it's about the love of the Father. It's about the love of the Son. And praise the Lord, it's about my receiving their love and allowing that love to effectually work in me. And you think about now, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you think of the height of love that we have, as Christ has said. We're to love each other with the very love of Christ. Not with my love, in a sense, or as thyself. It's to love each other with the very love of Christ. Go on over now to 1 John chapter 3. And let's continue to have this definition of what these commandments are all about that they're talking about. In 1 John 3:23, it says, and this is his commandment. This is the Father's commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So we believe on Jesus Christ. We believe on what? The word of God. Amen? And love one another. You go over to John, 1 John 2:5, and it says, and here it gets even more clear. But whoso keepeth his word. So now we're right there to the word, right? Believe the word. And now it's keep the word. What that word keep means is to treasure that word, to be entrusted with that word, to love the word. In him, verily, is the love of God perfected. It's completed. Hereby know we that we are in him. My that goodness, there's that vine thing going on. But see, that's how the love of God is fulfilled and perfected in our lives. It's all through laying hold of the word of God. The word of God does it. That word, again, is the supplying of the vine to the branches. That's that flowing that continues to do that. It's the word of his grace that builds us up. So looking back to verse 10 there of John, where it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Boy, there's a lot of abiding here, isn't there? And notice where all that abiding is. Where? Love. Huh? See, even Christians, they think they get so godly that, you know, I'm just going to blow you away with my knowledge of truth. Well, knowledge puffs up, but the love of God edifies. Understand this, brothers and sisters. We do need to know the Word of God. We do need to know this because we need to know the love of God. But it's the power of the love, not the knowledge of me. It's the power of the love knowledge. That's why Paul in his prayer, as he gets to that one place, the pinnacle of it, that we would know the love of Christ. That we would know that. And to be filled with all the fullness of that love of Christ. And this is what is so wonderful, because when we have that love alive and living in us, my goodness, what a fullness we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice here as well in verse 10, it says, abide in my love. See, that doesn't mean just get in there once in a while. Abide means to fellowship, endure, wait, remain. Doesn't, you know, just when it's convenient for me and, you know, I'm going to kind of back out of that love when I want to put a brother down because they're not doing the right thing. It says to abide in that love. And that is what's so wonderful. And you'll notice here in this expression here, to abide in his love. See, it's not just love here, but it's love that is challenged. It's love that is exercised. See, that's abiding in love and his love. What I mean by that is exercised and challenged. What about when you fail? Amen? The enemy wants you to not... the last thing he wants you to do is abide in the love of God when you fail. You need to go feel guilty. No, there's a remorse. There's a sorrow, absolutely, because of the love of God. But it's the love of God that holds me, that I'm never separated from. Amen? And then by the grace of God, as the Lord allows me to live these victories and victoriously in life, praise God. It's, again, the praise to his love. His love is what keeps me in it. His love what keeps this praise upon my heart and my lips continually. That's what it is. It's the love of God. And this is what is so sweet, because it's always this continually supplying of truth and love. And we remain in it. And I want you to understand, that's what's so beautiful about our meeting and getting together here. It's so vital what we hear in here. We hear the whole counsel of God. Amen? We hear, by God's grace, Paul's bridal love message. Amen? Praise be to God. And that is, hallelujah, this love of God in its heights. Now again, where are we? We're in John. Amen? And this is the journey to where, as we've been saying this many times, it's the journey to Acts, the journey to the upper room. Right when we get through John, my goodness, at the end of John, we're going to be at that point where Pentecost, bam, is here. The journey to the upper room. And what is that for? That's for to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And what does the Holy Ghost do? He sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. More love, more gushing, more power, all of these things that is so necessary to dwell in this love of God. And this is what is so evident here, and this is what is so beautiful. We see what the motivator of it all is. It's love. Amen? See, it's just like Jesus said, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It was love that held everything in. It's love that always holds everything in. It's not anything else. It's the love of God. God is love. Amen? And love causes us to desire, praise God, that his will be performed in us. As we begin to love the Lord more, we want more of him and less of me. Did you hear that? As you begin to fall in love with Jesus, one of the greatest barometers, your desires begin to fade away, and the desires of the Lord come in to fill your life. You become less important, and he becomes all important. Amen. That's how it is. We begin to really get what it's about. That everything after him is first love is a precious after effect in my life. What I do, everything is an after effect, added blessings. I love it. Just all of these fringe benefits. And a lot of those fringe benefits are great trials. of Christ first and foremost, first love in my life. That is what this is all about. And then as we fall in love with Him, it causes us to live for Him. It causes us not to want to live lawlessly. Going over to Romans 13. Romans 13, 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. I mean, how many times has God to tell us all this, huh? Oh, no, I got to, you know. The Lord, he finished all that for us. He nailed that all to the cross. But now, this is His desire. This is His command to us. This order for us to truly go on with Him is love. It's this wonderful love. For this, it says, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What don't we want to understand? Amen? I mean, he comes at us how many verses? It's love. And who is love? It's God. It's His Son. It's that supplying. And that's our rejoicing and as we grow in it and thanking God. And see, that's how Jesus concludes verse 10 here in John. Jesus Christ, His obedience to the Father wasn't duty, it was love. It was because of love. David says in Psalm 119:32, this is beautiful. 119:32, David says this, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. See, I need the enlarging of the love of God in my heart to run the way of His commandments. And I love that word run. See, I think of on the race course, to be that winner of the race. Brothers and sisters, we're challenged with this a lot. And I want to touch on it just a bit. The sinner in dirty self-righteousness will take the commandments and say that by living those or keeping those, that is what makes them righteous to God. We know that that's wrong, but we know that that's from the enemy. That's just the devil's ploy. And it's a great ploy because pretty much a large portion of this world is caught up into basically, I can work my way into heaven. I don't need Jesus. I've heard so many times, and you've heard this as well. Well, if God is that way, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. If He's telling me that it's got to be Jesus and He wouldn't accept me for my good works, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, you won't. You have got exactly what you've asked for. And that's the truth. But then on the other hand, what the enemy will do as well too is he'll take saints that understand and believe in the grace of God, but somehow he'll, again, it's his ploys. He'll try to say that, you know, if these commandments are working in our lives and we're encouraged in these things, that, now wait a second, you're really not being a grace saint. The devil's good about head games. It's called love. Amen? I understand because I believe the word of God that Jesus Christ said, I nailed all of that law and the ordinance to the cross. I fulfilled that for you, son. And that life lives in me. That's the life that the Father sees. That's the life, praise God, that is flowing from the vine. That's the only life I live right now. The only life any Christian lives, amen, is the life of Christ. Praise His name. So that life that's living and coursing in my life, as I grow up in it, as I get the knowledge of it, I become appreciative of that life. I want that life to live. I want to give that over. And you know what? Childish ways, childish things are put away, and I allow the life of the King to reign and to live in my life. Praise be to God. And there's that yielding that goes on. Now, I understand this is dirty flesh, and it can be fooled from time to time. But as this, praise God, is continually just pumped and coursed and encouraged in my life, as I gather with saints of like precious faith in my life, hallelujah, is that encouraged, and the new man reigns. And those childish things, Paul talks a lot about, you know, give up that stuff. You don't need to be an adulterer or fornicator and all that lawless stuff. By the grace of God, grow up. You're already righteous. I get that. I understand that I'm holy. I'm set apart to God. But why not let him reign in me? Why not? Amen? By the grace of God. Don't you love those things? Don't you love the goodness of God? Those Ten Commandments are not a bad thing. They're a wonderful thing. And they're wonderful because he fulfilled it for me. And I rejoice in his victory. I claim that victory. I thank God for that life that lives in me. And I want that life to reign. I pray that encourages you a little bit more in seeing this. But see, that's what is so precious. When we really are in love, we'll abide. When you're really in love, praise God. And I think of this so often in a courtship. When you really have come to love somebody, you don't need them around to abide faithful. You just want to be faithful because you love them. It's not an effort. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. And but for the love of God. He holds me in it. Amen? All right. That's it. Okay, let's go on to verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I love this because this is the encouragement now to finish with a full joy. See, a lot of Christians that know the depths of the gospel of truth and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, they walk around, they have the most sad, cold expressions, and really, it's like, man, I got to teach this fella to hug. God help us. We should be a loving bunch. People should come in and say, man, you know, those people, they're a little weird, but I'll tell you what, they're happy and I'm not. You know, they can say all the ugly things that somebody wants to say, but again, that's not a person, that's just the enemy that wants to do that stuff. Let them go that way. But love, I'll tell you what, you're going to face it, and this is what better be. But see, the key to joy is love, is what this is saying. Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Amen? So it all begins with love. All flows from that. Amen? And notice, love, joy. So you can't ever have joy without love. It has to have love. The Holy Ghost again sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. And then comes joy and peace in believing that you can't even explain. Amen? As you've really gone on with the Lord and you love the Lord, don't you just, the thing that gets frustrating is you can't describe it. The only thing that gets frustrating up here is I can't tell you enough. I can't tell you adequately, but it ain't me. I know it's the Spirit that does it, so then we're all good again. You see what I'm saying? But that's why the Lord has given you the Holy Ghost in that language. And that's why you need to be praising God in that language. He got to take you there. That praise and that glory, that faith, that utterance of tongue that he gives you. To thank him for that. That's such a comfort to my heart. Lord, I can't tell you, but the Spirit in me can. Amen. So, he goes on to say, and remain in that joy, reside in that joy. See, without the joy of the Lord in our lives, there's no strength. There isn't. Without the joy of the Lord, there's no strength. Without the joy of the Lord, what happens? You dry up. You fade away. So the call here is to what? Stay in love. In love. It's always in love, isn't it? I love that. Lovers are joyful. They are. They're happy. They might not have a dime. I'm serious. They might not have anything. But when they're in love, they're just dumb happy. Amen? I'm telling you, I've married many couples, and they hear it every time. Remember why you're doing this. Don't ever forget. It's not about car payments. It's not about bigger houses. It's not about, you know, what my kids are going to be. It's because you love one another. Amen. And the sad thing is I've seen couples amount wealth like you can't believe, but they loathe one another. God forbid. But now we're talking about the one who's altogether lovely, that we need to understand that. It says here in verse 11, these things. What it's speaking of there is this is how the in love comes and remains. And that comes because of abiding. Abiding to fellowship. This is what's going on tonight. This is why you need to hear the word of God. This is why, by the grace of God, get into Bible study. When you miss Bible studies, listen to the Bible studies. When you miss sermons, listen to the sermons. There's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for the word that's going forth right now. His word never returns void. I'm so thankful that we have a whole collection of sermons. And listen. But listen to the sermons that come now. Listen to the Bible studies that come now. Everyone that I've heard, well, so-and-so was my pastor. Well, that was it. And so-and-so's been in heaven for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years. Well, who's your pastor now? Amen? It's not about a man. It's about God. And we need to wake up to this. Amen? I'm sure David came along and he was this boy king. And I'm sure there was a lot of people that had a hard time with that. And I'm not speaking of me. It's just like Sister was talking about, these young pastors that might be coming up. I don't know. God's got to make them a pastor. God's got to call them to be a pastor. There ain't no pastor mill. And I want you to know that. You don't go somewhere to say, well, bang, you're a pastor. It does not happen that way. God has to make that. God does the calling. It doesn't come by your might. It doesn't come by your wisdom. It doesn't come by man's hands. It's God that does it. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we know that. And we're going to talk about this anointing that's upon our lives when we take the place that God has for us. So you don't go God's way or take God's place. There's not going to be an anointing on it. God's not going to anoint anything but his will. God's going to anoint only one thing, and that's his word. That's what's going to have the anointing. But see, when joy disappears from our life, there's a reason for it. It's because the fellowship has been broken with our Lord. And this happened to David when he failed so miserably with Bathsheba. He messed around for a year trying to deny it. He didn't face up to it. He continued to just try to slough it off and not really come to terms with the Lord wanted him to have that repentant heart. And finally, in Psalm 51:12, David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David did not say, "Restore my salvation." David was always saved. David knew, even at that time, that he could never be separated from the love of God. But David said, "Return or restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Praise God. See, there was a gap in that fellowship. There was a time away from it. And when we don't want to fellowship with the Lord, let me tell you something. You're not going to have any joy. You're going to be very miserable. So we go to verse 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Told you this thing's about love. He's right on it. Now listen to this again. "This is my commandment." So we started with abide in my love in verse 10. Now he's saying, hey, look, this is my commandment. And later on down here, but as we're going to end, he says, "I command you that you love one another." What do you think he's about? Huh? Amen. He didn't say, you know, "I want you to go in here and be a bunch of cerebral ones and let's quiz each other and see who knows the most." He didn't say, "Let's get out there and see who can work the best. How many guys can do the best works out here? Go for it and come on back and report." No, the test, the barometric, everything about it was love. Love, 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 love. But yet somehow we want to get away from that. And God help us. It's very, very, very evident. So sweet. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So again, it is his love. And may this convict us that, see, we talk about bridal truth here. We talk about being in the bride of Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The bride, the true bride, loves the head just as much as the body. There is no difference. There's no difference because it's all him. You know, I said, just get the visual in your head. Wouldn't it be kind of silly, you know, I'm just going to marry a head. So all I'm going to marry is a head. It doesn't make sense. You marry the whole person. You marry the body. And I thank the Lord for that. But because, see, that's the loving his appearing. See, his appearing is the word of God. That word, this word that we're hearing. He appears in his word. But then, praise the Lord, where does he appear in that word? In his saints. So see, when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, when we don't want to come and to assemble together for whatever reason, when we can, there's something wrong with perfect love in our life. Because it should never stop us. No matter how much we hurt or whatever, first love is first love. Amen? And I thank God for everyone in this place. It's so wonderful. But I know as I, again, not to look at the circumstances, but the glory of the circumstances. For every one of us, there's every reason in the world. What in the world are you doing here? There were a lot of easier churches to go to. You didn't have to face back with this one or that one or what one or whatever it is. One of the... And I've said this before, and I never want you to take it the wrong way. By the grace of God, I want marriages to stay and marriages to last and all of those things. But I understand there are things that happen. There are times the enemy gets in and lives go on different ways. But one of the greatest victories in this meeting is many that we have that come in here that are divorced. And it doesn't matter because they love the truth. And when you love the truth, an amazing thing happens. You begin to love one another. Because the love of God makes you love everybody. It's an amazing thing. I pray it's a cherished thing to your heart. Because it's not in many meetings. I say that kind of stuff and people think, man, you are just a kooky nut. What are you talking about? I said, no, I'm talking about the love of God. What is this about? What is this about? It's not. It is. It's about love. By the grace of God, I do. I want to remain faithful and married to my natural wife. But that's not what my life is about. My life is about running to when Christ is my bridegroom. And along the way, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail. I'm going to have events in my life. Well, I wish I had, but I didn't. But I'm glad he did and he made it right. That's victory. The victory that we can pray for one another. It didn't matter what somebody did to us at one time or we didn't get along or whatever it was. But this love that he's talking about right here, that we love one another with this love. I think he's mining in here. Oh, praise God. So let's believe him. But see, this is what we have. Is his unconditional fervent love, desiring God's best for one another, that it would dwell in us. I appreciate as Brother Hill would say over and over, the love of God in you makes you love everybody. It's true. You just can't help it. You know, you get kind of goofy love. Now, let's go on over to verse 13 and 14. So beautiful. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. I love that. What would one of our friends think about that? Well, you can be my friend if you do whatever I command you. I'm going to have no friends. How did Jesus have friends in that? Because what he was commanding was good. Love. Amen. Was free. Hallelujah. It wasn't something to bind you or to bound you up by anything. No, whom he has made free is free indeed. And what a privilege it is to be a prisoner of his love. Thank you, Jesus. But this is what's so personal here, is he's called us to be friends. He's called us to be a confidant, brethren, ones, praise God, that he loves to be with. Mention saying that about a brother who called me and said, you know, I was just so grieved reading about Jesus in the garden. You know, he said to the disciples, said, couldn't you just bear with me an hour? You know, tarry with me just an hour longer, just a little bit. He was wanting that fellowship so badly. He wanted that. He longed for that. Do you know he still has that longing for you and for me? He longs for that fellowship. He longs for what's going on right now. He rejoices. The Godhead, the Father, the Son right now. Hallelujah. Heaven itself is saying, thank you. Hallelujah, Savior. Vine, the supplying, the fruit that's being produced. This is what it was all about, son. Oh, we're getting ready to take the many sons to glory. Hallelujah. This is so sweet. But see, he loves to share with us, doesn't he? See, that's why he never leaves you alone. That's why you get in his faithfulness, he afflicts you. Because we're getting distracted. He says, I got to get him back here a little bit. Let's give him a little affliction. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You have ways beyond mine. Thank you, Lord. But this is marvelous. Go on over to Hebrews 2. Got to move a little bit here. But this is such rich time. Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. It said, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one. So we know who sanctifies. It's Jesus that does this, is the sanctifieth, and we're the ones that are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He calls us brothers, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I mean, he just, you know, just giddy, head over heels. He loves this fellowship that we have. And he desires this fellowship. But see, to have fellowship, you have to have agreement. Think of that. To have fellowship, you have to have agreement. Amen? What does light have with darkness? See, we might have friends in this world that are non-believers, and we might have, but there comes a point, there's no fellowship. Huh? It's just like, You have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are legalists. You get to a point where, you know, it's coming down to the gritty. Let me tell you something. You can't be separated from the love of God. Yeah, but I could lose this if I... Okay, we don't have no more fellowship there. Amen. Because the fellowship's in the Word of God. So, see, to have fellowship, there's got to be agreement. Amos 3:3 says, two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. You cannot walk together unless you be agreed. The intimacy will not dwell in us unless we are yielding. See, that's when we're talking about the branch that was the branch in him that had to be removed because it wasn't producing fruit. But it wasn't removed. It was said it needed to be lifted up. Amen? Because that branch wasn't in fellowship with the vine. It wasn't receiving everything of the vine. It has to be in agreement. And you think about the fellowship that can be ours, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about fellowship to all his perfect and complete will. That's incredible fellowship. Don't you love the fellowship that he gives you and he whispers to you at night as you go to bed? He said, oh, honey, you're going to rule and reign together with me. You're going to be glorified together with me. You can't imagine what I've got. Yeah, you kind of can because, you know, the Spirit will give you that. Yea, the deep things of God. But, oh, it's coming. We're going to be together soon. All of this is going to be poured out soon. Look at the things I'm showing you in signs and wonders in the world. Look up, I'm coming. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So this is powerful stuff. I think about Abraham. Do you know of all the ones in the Word of God, it's Abraham that is called the friend of God. He's called the friend of God. We won't turn there. James 2:23 tells you that. Isaiah 41:8, that Abraham was the friend of God. I do want you to turn to Genesis 18 because it's so wonderful in Genesis 18 as God is contemplating, he's basically saying, you know, I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But before he does this, he says, you know what? I can't keep my friend Abraham from this. I got to tell him what's going on. And I love how this is. I mean, this is God thinking of his friend Abraham. And about, I've got to visit with him. And in verse 18, 17, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Which means what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Thinking now what he's spoken of us. Amen? Bridal truth, has he spoken of you? Can I keep that thing from Abraham? And you know what? He didn't keep it from Abraham. And Abraham and him had a really good discussion. Because Abraham said, now you can't be wiping out that whole thing because there's some ones in there that believe you. And then God had to whittle him down. He started with a grand number and God got him way down there. He could have even got him down to one. You know, if there's one, can we still have? Yeah, we'll do it. Because they were friends. They were that confidant. He delighted in speaking with Abraham. Do you know how much God delights in speaking with you? He loves to hear you. He loves to hear you always. Call out to him. Thank him. Praise him. Cry out to him. I love this. You know, when I praise God, when I cry out to him, it turns back my enemies. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I want to be calling out and crying out to him always. If he tells me that that's what it takes, my goodness, I thought I really had to manipulate and move and turn and devise these things. No, I cry out to you and you'll bring it to pass. You'll put those things in place. It'll be your plan. It'll be your miracles that will be poured out. Amen? And just be still and wait. Praise God. And see the mighty hand of God do it. And that is where we're at. That is what we're waiting on. The faithfulness of God. Now, he goes on to say, I call you not servants. And this ties right into Galatians 4:1. You're little lords of all. You're little lords of all. I don't call you servants. You've got all the potential to rule and reign together with me jointly forever, to glorify together with me. But if you just remain the knowledge and that's all you want is a servant, that's all you're going to be. That's all you're going to be. See, God did not save us to be palm wavers. Even though the majority in heaven that you're going to see up there in that company, the great multitude, they're palm wavers because they don't want to believe the truth. But that's not the intention here. That's what he even says to, and he's not just saying this to his disciples. He's saying this to every child of God. I don't want you to be a servant. You're my friend. And then he's going to give the Holy Ghost to give you a full vision of it. My goodness, friend and lover. Praise the Lord. How sweet, how evident this all is. But see, this is what Christ has for us, to be a joint heir on a throne, ruling and reigning together with him. And he says, I have made known all things unto you. And oh, what the Holy Ghost is going to bring in here in a minute. And I love being his companion, don't you? Oh, I love it. I'm in you and you're in me. Man, it's beyond. Song of Solomon 5:16. She calls him my lover, my friend. My lover, my friend. Huh? Praise God. Okay, let's get 16 and 17. We'll call it a night. Let's go on back to John. We'll close it out with this real quick. But this is wonderful stuff, isn't it? Hallelujah. Ye have not chosen me. This is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. Ye have not chosen me, listen to this, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So he ends this little section, I order you. I'm commanding that this be done, that you love one another. Now this verse, 16, I'm so thankful. It's so dear to my heart too, because when the Lord called me to pastor early on, just many trials and obviously doubts and different things, but I appreciated this. My sweet wife, she wrote it on a little sticky note, this verse, and I still have that sticky note right there, all rolled up, mashed up, whatever it is, right there at the bottom of my computer. Yes, I thank God for this, that I know that He does it. I know that He will do it. I know that He's called me to it and will continue to perform it. It's so beautiful to listen to. I have chosen you. I have ordained you. That means I have picked you out. I have chose you for myself. This is exactly what this means. This is you, everybody. I have picked you out. I have chosen you for myself. I have put you in that place. I have established you and I have fixed you. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. It is only in that place, His place. See, this is His place. Not what you think your place needs to be, but it is that only in that place that He'll bring forth fruit. And most importantly, the fruit that will remain. See, by abiding, our fruit remains. Our fruit continues on. It doesn't perish. And then that blessed assurance when we're in the heart of God's will, with the life of Christ reigning in us, we sons have the very same promise, praise God, of that encouragement and that anointing. The same encouragement that we can say that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. I need that. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You need that. And this is in accordance with the will of God. You need this. That's why it's so wonderful. Abide in the will of God. Abide in the Word of God. And that's as He takes you in this path and these things come in your life. You can truly pray in this divine absolute assurance as a son, as now I am a son of God, that Lord, I am in this will. And you say, whatever I ask, I believe you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You'll do it. How many times does He tell us that in the Word of God? See, He wants us to be bold in that, doesn't He? He doesn't want us to be sheepish in prayer. He wants us to be bold in the love of the will of God to us. In closing, the goal in this passage that we've just read is in verse 8. And in verse 8 is that the Father may be glorified. That's the goal. Amen? That's the mark. Glorification is the mark. That we would be glorified together with Him. Amen? That's it. It's glory. This is about the gospel of the glory. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. This is the bridal calling. All this wondrous glory. And how does that glory be bestowed to the Father? Much fruit. Amen? So we know that it's much fruit that gives Him glory. Amen. And how does much fruit come forth? By abiding in Jesus. Abiding this fellowship. And how do we abide? What is this abiding? What's the result of it? It's obedience. It's obedience. And obedience is what? It's an agreement. It's a yielding. But that's never going to happen without love. And I love how John 14, 23 says it. Here's the love. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. That's the test. That's the evidence. If a man loves me, he'll keep my words. So now we're right back to it's knowing Him, isn't it? I love how Peter said it because he finally really got it. Grow in grace and in the knowledge to know Him of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, to know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to love Him. That's why you need to hear the Word of God. That's why we need to continue to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God in the fullness. Praise His name. Let's stand and be dismissed.